We are at chapter 12 of the Exodus. Chapter 12 is Moses' instruction. Chapter 11, last time we left, in chapter 11, when Moses made the announcement to Pharaoh, is that there will be a last plague, and this last plague will be more devastating than all the plagues before. Because there is a price. Even Pharaoh will experience that price. Prior to that, the 10th plague doesn't make much difference to Pharaoh. You know, even his magician can duplicate the plagues. And also, there is not a personal suffering or experience of those plagues. He's in the palace, so the hail comes, you know, he doesn't get hit, right? He might have a little discomfort with boils, you know, on his body. But, you know, his magician, his royal physicians can heal that. Darkness, no problem. He has candle lights. You know, he's not like the rest of Egypt. So he personally, in the royal palace, never really experienced the depth of the plagues. Except for this last one. So, Moses warned him, it's coming. You can let my people go, otherwise this will happen to you and your whole household. Your whole household. Of course, Pharaoh did not listen. And so, now chapter 12 is the specific instructions God had for the people, Hebrews. You know, there is in James in the New Testament saying that faith without deeds is dead. So in this case, as we read through the instructions, the reason God passed over the Hebrew household is because of what? Because they sacrificed the lamb? Because they ate the lamb? Because they do everything what Moses told them to do? No. If you read it carefully, we will read that. That God sees the blood on the door frame of the Hebrew household. And God sees that, and then he jumped over. He did not go into the house. So the salvation is not because they sacrificed it. God provided a way, gave them a lamb. But they have to what? Take the instructions and put that blood on the doorframe. It's almost like, you know, we preach the gospel all the time. God has provided Jesus for us. He is that Lamb of God who was slain for our sin. We preach that. But for you to receive the salvations, you had to take a step of faith to receive it, right? And that's when you are saved. God provided, but for you to apply to you, you had to receive it. It's just like, this is my credit card. I told you, I will give it to anyone. Let's get all my money in there. Here's for the taking. Unless you come up and take it, it's not yours. You never possess everything that I have. It's the same way with Jesus. And the same way here, as God prepared the Passover instructions, ultimately is what? You put that blood over the doorframe. You received it. And also, as we read this, look, just keep in mind that the 10th plague, this last plague, is a judgment because God said it himself. We'll read it. It's a judgment of Egyptians, but at the same time, it's a judgment of God on the Hebrew too. We said the Hebrew was, you know, kind of isolated in Goshen, but they still had neighbors who are Egyptian who worship idol, pagan god. And for some Jewish, for some Hebrew, they may be affected and worship the pagan god. You see this in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel accused Israelite of worshiping idols. And beginning with the people in Egypt, beginning with their ancestor in Egypt. But it is not just the judgment, but it is also God provides the mercy through the Passover lamb. Through the Passover. So it is judgment and mercy in the same act of Passover. Okay, let's read it. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is not to be for you, is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people they are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat." Very specific, you know, when God gives command. The animal you choose must be year-old male without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month. In other words, the tenth of the month that you pay one. Then you take care of them until the 14th day of the month. 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. They kill them before the sun goes down, before a new day starts. So you kill them, all of them at the same time. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and top of the door frames of the house where they eat the lamb. That same night, they are to eat the meat roast over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. So they are to eat that, not boil them, but roast them. Roast them. Do not eat the meat raw, so no lamb shall, you know, medium rare. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire. Head, legs, and inner parts. That means that you don't even cut open the guts. You just roast them. With hair, you roast them. Do not eat them. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. You got to burn it into ash. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They want them to be ready to leave. Be ready to leave, because once the Pharaoh said you can go, they cannot linger. They need to get up and go. So they want them to prepare. When you eat this meal, because it's probably going to be almost immediately, the Pharaoh will feel the pain and then will will let them go, and they have to go before Pharaoh changes his mind again. So this is the instruction for the Hebrews. And it is, you know, for the Lord that he made this as the first year, as the new year for them, as the new year, because they are now entering into a new relationship with God, entering new territory, entering new experience. God wants them to remember that. So the Passover for the Jewish calendar is always after their new year. Always after their new year. And the Passover is always 14 days after the new year. I think for us, I'm trying to parallel the Exodus, the Passover, and us with Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the lamb that was slain. And so in this case, we as Christians are also had a new beginning, right? So I usually ask people, how old are you? And they give me their chronological age. I said, no. How old are you in the Lord? That is when you were born again, right? You have a new life. And this is what God wanted to remember. And what God wants you to remember is that the day when you were born again. And that's your beginning of a new life in Christ. So it is important. You know, I remember, I don't remember when I was born again, but I remember when I was baptized. It's on the Easter of 1976. I think many of you were non-existent yet. But I remember the day, and that's my beginning. That's my beginning. So I think it's good, it's a good thing for you to remember when you started this journey of Exodus, you know, from the darkness into light. And the detailed instructions for how to celebrate the Passover, how to eat the Passover meal. We already look at that. But then verse 12, this is what God promised. Verse 1 to 11 is what God's instructions for the people. And verse 12 and 13 is what God promised that he will do. And verse 12, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both man and animal. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Yahweh. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. See, when I see the blood, verse 13, when I see the blood. So here, God says, Passover, this plague is a judgment. It's a judgment on anybody, anyone who have worshipped the pagan God, who has sinned against him. Now, this definitely includes the Hebrews too, right? And this is the same way for us, is that without Jesus Christ, the judgment is upon you. There is a judgment. Whether you admit it or not, or people aware or not, Scripture tells us that no one is righteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God's judgment is coming. Is coming. But the obedience is not complete until you put the blood on the on the doorframe. And your salvation depends on your complete obedience to God. This is the same as when God instructed Noah to build an ark, right? God was very specific on how you should build the ark and what kind of tarp you should use to seal the cracks. And if Noah wants to skip any of the step, I don't know if the ark will float. But God has very specific instructions for Noah, and Noah has to obey to the letter. And the same way here is that God specifically tells them what they need to do. And the Lord says that he sees the blood and then he will skip over. Why is that important? Why is the blood important? You know, it seems kind of cruel. Is that you're talking about blood sacrifice and all that. And in the scripture, and God forbidden you to eat blood. Why is that? Because blood represents life. And so God forbidden us to eat blood because God does not want us to participate in eating of life. But blood is also important in Hebrews 9:22 says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You know, God demands blood sacrifice because of sinfulness of human beings. And so as we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood, Jesus shed his blood, so to substitute for us, that we ought to be the one that shed blood. But Jesus did it for us. So God even demanded the blood from his own son as an offering, as a sign of redemption. But I want to park on this is the mercy part of it. You to receive mercy. The Israelites, the Hebrews, to receive mercy because they obey to the end. They obey every little part. And the last part is to put blood on the doorframe. Mercy has to be received. Mercy is not just given. Giving mercy is only half of the things, because that's what God does. God extends mercy and grace to us. But there is a second part to complete that mercy circle, is that you have to receive it. And you, to receive it, you have to do it according to God's instruction. God says, this is how you receive mercy. Put the blood on the doorframe. And this is how you receive mercy. To have salvation in Jesus Christ, eternal life in Jesus. God says, you receive my son as your savior and Lord. So there is that obedient part. So without the obedient part, the mercy and salvation is not complete. It's not complete. Yes, God's provision is perfect. God's provisions of lamb to be slain is perfect. But it's not perfect to you until that you follow the instruction to the letters. God's provision of Jesus Christ for our salvation is perfect, but is useless to you who does not receive it. So that is what God had promised. This is God's instructions, and God had promised this, that he will destroy anyone who does not have the blood on their doorpost. Now, I'm wondering, does that only apply to Hebrews? No. What happened to Egyptians? Like, I had my good neighbor, my good friend, Egyptians. And I told them, this is what God is going to do tonight. You want to join us to have this legal land for this meal? You want to join us? Can they, the neighbor, non-Hebrew, come into the household of Hebrew and be protected because they have the blood? Will the angel come in, says, okay, because you're not Hebrew, so I'm going to kill you, even though there's blood on the doorframe? No. Yeah. Why is that? I thought that Passover is to save the Hebrews. No, the Passover is to save all those who obey what Moses instructed them. All those, even the Egyptians, let's say, that they're not coming into the Hebrew household, but they believe Moses' instruction. They did what Moses told them to do. These are Egyptians that put the blood on the doorpost. Will God come in because they're not Hebrew and kill them? Of course not. God did not say, okay, I'm only going to say Hebrew. God told them, this is the way to be saved. This is the way I can jump over you so you would not be destroyed. So anyone who followed the instructions will be saved. So the next question is probably easier to answer. What if a Hebrew doesn't believe it? Hebrew just does his own thing. Would he be killed? No?
Yes, he will be killed.
He will be killed because God sees the blood on the door frame and then jump over it. So if Hebrew doesn't follow that instruction, the angel of death will come in. It doesn't matter your DNA. It does not matter your DNA. The angel of the Lord comes in because there's no blood on the doorpost. So you got that now, right? Following, obeying what God said that saved us. That the salvation is effective for us when we follow what God said to us. When you follow the preaching of the gospel, when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain for our sin, then you receive him and says, Lord, forgive me. Come to be my Savior and Lord. That is when you are saved. When you are saved. Okay, verse 14 to verse 20 is about this holiday. This holiday comes after the Passover. So from 14th day to the 21st day. So this is the day you are to commemorate for the generation to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. So it could be, the verse 14 could mean the lasting ordinances of Passover, or he's referring to 15 and onwards, which is for 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your house. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought you division out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinances for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Have you eaten 馒头? Made with yeast or made without yeast?
It's impossible.
Yeast is almost necessary for any baking good. Cakes, brownies, they all have yeast in there. So without yeast, what kind of bread do you think it will be? You tried it. How does it taste? It's really hard, right? It's not really puffy, but it's hard. Yeah. So we don't like to eat food without yeast. We don't like to make bread without yeast. But here, God says, you do it. There is a symbolic meaning to that. And let me read this to you, this portion. This is from 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 7 and 8. This is God, this is Paul speaking to church, and especially church who has these sins of the church. You know, people, brothers and sisters in the church who are sinned against God, and they haven't really done anything to it. I mean, the church did not do any discipline, God, church did not, just let it pass. You know, I see no evil, hear no evil. That's what's happening with this church in Corinth. And this is what Paul's instruction. Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. See, yeast is one of those, you put a little bit in the whole dough, and what it does? It rises up the whole dough. And so what Paul here is saying is that a little sin in the body of Christ will infect the whole body of Christ. You need to deal with it. You need to get rid of this sin. Even maybe it's not so significant in your eyes. You need to deal with it. Otherwise, it will just infect, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That is what God wants the Israel, like the Hebrew, to understand. Is that now you have been redeemed, right? That God passed over you, that you have been redeemed. You are God's people. You are brand new. You have a brand new beginning. Don't let sins of your old come and infect it again. Infect your community again. Infect your person again. Because you are new. So, God wants what? Wants the Hebrew to remember this. remembered for generations and generations to come. I think it speaks to us is that we need to deal with sin very quickly. Deal with sin quickly and deal with sin seriously. Don't think it's a small thing. Don't think it's a small thing, because eventually it will infect your whole personality. Let's say, why does Jesus say lusting is like adultery? The lust of the eyes is that little yeast. But when it infects you and it gets growing bigger and bigger in you, in your personality, it becomes adultery. It will lead to adultery. Why is God, Jesus said, when your anger will also lead to murder. Anger and murder are two different things. But what Jesus is saying is that anger is the small yeast, and murdering is the rising of whole dough. So deal with anger now before it infected your personality, that you have so much hatred in you that you took a gun and shot somebody. Deal with anger. Deal with lust before it infects and leads to adultery and murder. This is why God wants the Hebrews to clean out the East, to remind them that there can be no malice, no old, your old personality, your old habit. You need to be like a new person. Even though the bread doesn't taste good, but it's without infections. But without infections. And lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about this everlasting remembrance. Because several times it tells you, keep this as an everlasting remembrance. Just very quickly, we need to get out of here by 12 o'clock. But I think this is important. This is verse 24. Obey these instructions as lasting ordinances for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony, Passover, and unleavened bread, and ceremony means to you. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the house of Israelites in Egypt and spared our own when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses. You know, the Jews still celebrate Passover. I never been to a Jewish Passover meal, but we have friends who are Jewish, and they told us in this ceremony, they always choose the youngest child in the household to ask this question: what does this mean to you, Daddy? Why are we doing this? Even today, the youngest child will ask that question. And the father of the household will answer them according to the scriptures. According to the scripture. Because on this day, the Lord rescued us from slavery of Egypt. This is the generation to generation to generations. That's how they kept Passover over how many years? You know how many years since this? Probably close to 2,000 years. 4,000 years. 4,000 years. 4,000 years of traditions, generation to generation, asking the same question. What does this mean? Why are we doing this Passover meal every year? Because this is the night when the Lord took us from Egypt and made us his own. I don't know, What kind of legacy are you going to leave to your children? What kind of legacy are you going to leave to your children? What are you going to say to your children? Daddy, why do you believe? Why do we always go to sunrise service on Easter? Why do we celebrate Easter? What are you going to say? Because that's how we commemorate and remember for our next generations and the generation after. God have mercy on us that we can give this, the most precious things in our lives, and handle it, give it to the next generation. Starting with our own family, our own children. And then people in the church, like Paul to Timothy, I'm giving you this gospel. Handle it well. So that's what God says about Passover. We will continue on. It's not over yet. You know, not over yet. Next week we'll see what happened. Next week we'll see what happened. Thank you. I think we need to get out. Let's pray. Don't leave yet. We want to have a put it. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, to be our Passover lamb. And thank you, Jesus, that we always remember you. We use the communion to remember you. From generation to generation, Lord, this communion has been going on for 2,000 years. And from generation to generation, we handed this to our spiritual children. We ask you, Lord, that you bless us because we trust in you. We believe in you. And we call you our Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we need to put the table back.